Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the course of his second meditation, René Descartes will bring up the example of a piece of wax, one that has been taken recently from a honeycomb. And this is a sort of stand-in or example or paradigm of any extended object that we would want to know, something that we've experienced through engagement with the senses. So you could think about, you know, a chalkboard, for example, or a piece of clothing, or anything else that you like. Now you might, if you've followed along Descartes' meditations to this point, say, well, why is he bringing up anything remotely like that, things that are external to myself? Hasn't he just imagined to himself that he doesn't have a body, that the external world doesn't exist? Isn't he applying this methodological doubt and even bringing in the idea of an evil demon or genius who spends all of his attention deceiving me? And the answer is yes, but what Descartes has done is said, we're going to treat everything as if it's false. That doesn't mean that we can't actually investigate it, because the goal of Descartes' meditations is not to be a skeptic or introduce skepticism for its own sake. It's to, at some point in time, arrive at certainty about truths having to do with himself, with God, with the universe, with things, and the body as well. So he's going to talk first about, do I actually have a conception of body? And he does. He does, in fact, have a general conception of body. He says, for what belongs to the body, I don't actually doubt anything about its nature, but I think that I actually know it quite distinctly, because if I wanted to explain following the notions that I had, I would have described it in such a manner. By body, corps in French, I understand all that can be limited or terminated, terminé in French, by some sort of shape or figure or structure, figure in French, right? Everything that can be contained in some sort of place, and which fills that space in such a way that every other body is excluded from it. That's a part of the general conception of body as well, isn't it? Something that can be sensed, either by touch, or by sight, or by hearing, or by taste, or by odor. So physical objects that can actually be sensed by us in the world. He goes on and he says, that can be moved in multiple ways, not by itself, but by something else by which it is touched and from which it receives some sort of impression or some sort of impulse, some sort of force. So this is a good way for us to unpack what we mean in general by body. And notice that at that point in the discussion, Descartes is talking about this in a very generic sense. He's not saying this body or that body. He's just saying any body whatsoever. This is the general conception that I have of what it means to be a body, or to be, as he would say later, an extended substance. So what about the piece of wax? Why does he come to that? That comes a little bit later in the discussion. And this is after he's already talked about the fact that he knows that he exists, and so long as he thinks, he exists, he's a thinking thing. Then he starts talking about, well, what about these ideas that I have of things besides myself? Are they just pure figments of my, as we would say, imagination? Descartes might not use exactly that term. So he says, let's begin by considering the most common things, the most ordinary things, and we will come, I hope that we will come to grasp them most distinctly. And so what should that be? bodies that we touch and that we see. So he says, I'm not going to talk here about bodies in general, because the general notions that we have of things, they could be confused. So you notice that he's being extraordinarily careful here. He says, let's pay attention to a particular kind of body, a particular thing. Let's take a piece of wax. Now, at the time that he's writing, you don't know whether he has the wax in front of him or is just, remembering this or imagining it or something like that. But he says, let's take a piece of wax, a morsel de cire, which has just come to be taken from the honey hive, right? The ruche. He says, there's still the sweetness of the honey that it contained. It also retains a little bit of the odor of the flowers from which the honey was harvested. Its color, its shape, its size are apparent to us. We can see them. We can touch them. It is hard. It is cold. We touch it. And if you knock on it, it'll give out some sort of sound. So he says, all the things that can be distinctly known about a body are found in this. Think about that image for a moment. Run your mind over it. Think about what it's like to sense something as hard, as cold, as waxy, if we want to talk about the feel of it or anything like that, the smell, the taste, all of these things. That is what the piece of wax is, isn't it? That's what our senses tell us the piece of wax is. But what happens when we start to experiment? What happens when we, for example, as Descartes is going to do in this, take it near a fire? What happens to those sensible qualities? They change in very important ways, don't they? He goes on and he says, whatever there remained of its flavor exhales. It dissipates into the air. The odor disappears as well. The color changes. The figure is lost. Its greatness or size augments. It grows. It becomes liquid. It heats up. You can barely touch it. And if you knock on it, it doesn't give any sort of sound. So he says, does the same wax remain there in that change? And if the wax is merely the sensible qualities, what answer would you have to give to that? The answer would be no, because the sensible qualities have all changed. And yet, we don't think that the wax is no longer there. We don't even say it's no longer wax. It's just something different. We say, no, the wax has changed. The wax itself has to be something other than those sensible properties or qualities there, right? So he says, certainly, it can't be anything that I took in by the intermediary of the senses, because all of the things that fell under taste or smell or sight or touch or hearing, all of these things are changed, and yet the same wax remains. So, what is it that I think the wax is? It's not the sweetness of the honey. It's not the agreeable smell of the flowers. Nor is it this whiteness. Nor is it this figure. Nor is it this sound. But rather, it's a body which just a little bit before appeared underneath these forms, which now I can take in without these others. So he says, well, okay, then properly speaking, what is it that I imagine when I'm thinking of something of this sort? So he says, let's be very careful with this and distance ourselves from everything that doesn't belong to the wax. Let's see what remains here. So he says, certainly there's nothing other than something that is extended, flexible, and shapeable, muable in French. Can't I imagine that this wax, once round, is capable of becoming square and passing from a square to a figure triangular? And he says, well, it's not that, because I can conceive it capable of receiving an infinity of similar changes, and I don't know how to run over that infinity by my imagination. So it's not something that I'm actually able to take in by imagination. So how do I then actually understand what the piece of wax is. So he says, well, what is this extension? Is it also unknown, since the wax that's at the bottom becomes larger and is found to be greater than it was when it was a hard figure? And if I heat it up even more, it becomes even larger. And he says, I don't conceive clearly and according to truth what the wax is if I don't think of it as capable of receiving many of these sorts of varieties according to extension than I would have ever imagined. So what is it that I understand it to be? I grasp it as a type of extended substance. And how do I do that? I'm not doing it through the senses at all. I've already stripped those away. Am I doing it through what he calls the common sense, the imagination? Descartes equates these two. The common sense, I should mention, is not what we typically mean these days when we mean common sense, but rather the unification of the senses of sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch that allows us to produce an object for ourselves. So, you know, the common sense, you could say, is the nexus, the juncture of all of the senses. Descartes says, no, we're not going to actually understand what the wax is in its general conception of body, except through what he calls the intellect or the understanding, the entendement in French. And this is a higher faculty. This is not simply dependent on images. This is, you could say, a purer form of thought. Descartes thinks that this is also something that is not very easy to use apart from the senses and the imagination. We can do it perhaps for a short amount of time, but it is certainly something possible for us. And because we have that, we're able to grasp what things genuinely are. And so he goes on and he tells us that what we've remarked or what we've noticed here about the wax can be applied to all other things that are exterior to me and which I encounter outside of myself. We understand extended things in part by, you know, he says they're under the clothing of their visible appearances, right? Or sensual appearances. We don't want to confine it solely to the visible. But when we strip those clothing away and we encounter it completely naked, we're doing so by means of the understanding. The same thing that we use to understand ourselves, to be able to say, I think, I am, right? In the discourses, or I am, I exist, because I engage in thinking. That's carried out by the intellect or understanding. We don't grasp things truly as they are, except by use of the intellect or understanding. So he says, if this notion or knowledge of the wax seems to be more clear, more distinct, after it has been discovered not only by sight or touch, but also by many other causes, after so much evidence, distinction, and clarity, I can also understand myself, because all the reasons that serve to understand and conceive the nature of the wax or any other body can even more easily and more evidently be applied to the nature of my own spirit. So the piece of wax, he says, at the end of this example, has helped to illustrate more than just what it would be like to take in a sensible object. It's helped us to understand a fundamental distinction between ways of grasping things so that we then can proceed more securely and arrive at the point where we can indeed attain certainty. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.